Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to PGN. You are listening to Secrets Revealed, Understand the Book of Revelation from Start to Finish. Today we are talking about the Earth Reaped Prophecy. You can listen live at 12 p.m. Central, 1 p.m. Eastern to PGN's Secrets Revealed, Understand the Book of Revelation from Start to Finish. We are live today, November 27th of 2022, and this is our second to last program in the month of November for analysis and discussion of the Earth Reaped Prophecy. For the entire month of November, we have had and will continue to have analysis and discussion of the Earth Reaped Prophecy with me, Dr. Nicole, your Book of Revelation research scientist. Our talks, our discussions, our analysis are happening live on PGN on Sundays at 12 p.m. Central Time and Tuesdays at 4 p.m. Central Time. I invite you to share your perspective or pose a question during the live broadcast. You can do that by calling 1-319-527-6027 and pressing 1, or by texting your question or comment to 1-214-505-8719. As always, you are invited to share your prayer request for live prayer. You can share your prayer request by calling 1-319-527-6027 or by texting us at the PGN text number 1-214-505-8719. Today, we are talking about the Earth Reaped Prophecy, and I feel led to focus on predictions. What are the predictions in the Earth Reaped Prophecy? And this prophecy appears in chapter 14 of the book of Revelation. It is preceded by the 144,000 first fruits prophecy, and it's followed by the seven plagues prophecy. Let's hear the prophecy in its entirety, and then let's focus on what are the predictions in everyday language, in plain language, what are the specific predictions in the prophecy? First, let's hear this prophecy, verses 6 to 20 in Revelation chapter 14, the Earth Reaped Prophecy. John the Revelator says, quote, reading from the New Living Translation, "And I saw another angel flying through the sky, carrying the eternal good news to proclaim to the people who belong to this world, to every nation, tribe, language, and people. Fear God, he shouted. Give glory to him, for the time has come when he will sit as judge. Worship him who made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all the springs of water. Then another angel followed him through the sky, shouting, Babylon is fallen. That great city is fallen, because she made all the nations of the world drink the wine of her passionate immorality. Then a third angel followed them, shouting, Anyone who worships the beast and his statue, or who accepts his mark on the forehead or on the hand, must drink the wine of God's anger. It has been poured full strength into God's cup of wrath, and they will be tormented with fire and burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and the Lamb. The smoke of their torment will rise forever and ever, and they will have no relief day or night, for they have worshipped the beast and his statue, and have accepted the mark of his name. This means that God's holy people must endure persecution patiently, obeying his commands and maintaining their faith in Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write this down. Blessed are those who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they are blessed indeed, for they will rest from their hard work, for their good deeds follow them. Then I saw a white cloud, and seated on the cloud was someone like the Son of Man. He had a gold crown on his head and a sharp sickle in his hand. Then another angel came from the temple and shouted to the one sitting on the cloud, swing the sickle, for the time of harvest has come. The crop on earth is ripe. So the one sitting on the cloud swung his sickle over the earth, and the whole earth was harvested. After that, another angel came from the temple in heaven, and he also had a sharp sickle. Then another angel, who had power to destroy with fire, came from the altar. He shouted to the angel with the sharp sickle, swing your sickle now to gather the clusters of grapes from the vines of the earth, for they are ripe for judgment. So the angel swung his sickle over the earth and loaded the grapes into the great winepress of God's wrath. The grapes were trampled in the winepress outside the city, and blood flowed from the winepress in a stream about 180 miles long and as high as a horse's bridle. That is the earth reaped prophecy in its entirety. In a nutshell, it is a discussion of what happens when the first resurrection occurs. What happens to the wheat and what happens to the weeds? Let's go verse by verse to hear the predictions, starting at the end and then working our way to the beginning. What are the specific predictions, the prophecies in the book of Revelation in plain language? Let's unlock these secrets. So verse 20 says, the grapes were trampled in the winepress outside the city, and blood flowed from the winepress in a stream about 180 miles long and as high as a horse's bridle. So we see here that the book of Revelation tells us that the wheat, the counterpart to the wheat, the tares, those whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life and who bear the mark of the beast and who are in the armies led by the Antichrist at the Battle of Armageddon, they will be destroyed as a result of the great winepress described in the marriage supper prophecy. And their destruction will result in 180 miles of blood, 180 miles long, and as high as a horse's bridle. You might say, research scientists, that is gruesome. War is gruesome. However, the Battle of Armageddon is a war waged in righteousness. Jesus Christ will descend from the clouds, from heaven, to this present earth at the time of his second coming. And after the marriage of the Lamb, the marriage supper will occur. And here in verse 20, we have a prediction of specifically what will happen to those in the armies that stand in opposition to the armies of heaven. So on one side at the Battle of Armageddon will be Jesus Christ. He will lead the armies of heaven from a white horse that he will sit on, and he will use a weapon, which is a sword. That sword comes from his mouth, and he will also have an iron rod. And as a result of the war waged by Jesus Christ, blood will flow from the winepress. What's the winepress? The winepress is what occurs when the enemies of God stand in Israel, because they are there to annihilate Israel. They're there to destroy Israel. They think they're going to find those who remain after 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation, 3.5 years of the Antichrist waging war against both Israel and the church. They think we are finally about to take Jerusalem. We're finally going to destroy Israel. But who they find is not the remaining 144,000 who have their heads sealed, who are victorious. The Bible says, after the fullness of the Gentiles come in, all Israel shall be saved. So the 144,000 that remain, they will be saved. And so who do they face? They face Jesus Christ. They experience the wine press. Now, who's they? In verse 20, it says, the grapes were trampled. The grapes refer to those who bear the mark of the beast. And specifically, those who bear the mark of the beast and who are in Israel for the purpose of engaging in war to destroy Israel. And so let's hear their fate in plain words. The armies, 100% of the armies of the Antichrist will be trampled by the armies of heaven. They will experience death, and their blood will flow for 180 miles. Let's continue. Verse 19 says, so the angel swung his sickle over the earth and loaded the grapes into the great winepress of God's wrath. So we see here the prediction that an angel will facilitate the harvest as prophesied in the book of Matthew. So there's the harvest of the wheat and there's the harvest of the tares. Specifically, all who are in the armies of the Antichrist will experience the great wine press of God's wrath. And that will be facilitated by the work of an angel appointed by God. So it says the grapes are loaded into the great wine press. When we hear about the seven plagues prophecy in December of this year, we'll be talking about the seven plagues prophecy on this program, Secrets Revealed, Understand the Book of Revelation from Start to Finish. The wrath of God culminates with the Battle of Armageddon. These grapes are loaded, it says, into the great wine press. So the river Euphrates will be dried up. For what purpose? So that the kings of the east can make their way to Israel. They think they're coming to Israel again. They think, finally, we're going to take Jerusalem. The Antichrist has been leading a war at this point for 3.5 years of great distress, of crisis like the world has never seen and will never see again. And so they are loaded into the great wine press of God's wrath. Now, I'm thinking of loading as they're herded into the location, but perhaps loaded refers to something specific that the angels do to get them in the position so that the sword of Jesus Christ destroys them all in one full sweep. In any case, we're told specifically that the angel will do work to get the individuals, all of them, who are in the armies led by the Antichrist into position. Now, why do they need to be into position? They need to be in the location where God will destroy them with the sword that comes from his mouth. Let's continue. Verse 18 says, then another angel who had power to destroy with fire came from the altar. He shouted to the angel with the sharp sickle, swing your sickle now to gather the clusters of grapes from the vines of the earth, for they are ripe for judgment. So this prophesies, this prediction tells us that those who are among the goats, those whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, those who bear the mark of the beast, those who are among the bad fish, those who are a part of the clusters of the grapes, and who are at the location in Israel for the Battle of Armageddon, they are ripe for judgment. So sometimes people think that they will be allowed to continue with their activities indefinitely, that there's no endpoint, that no one will stop them. But a day of judgment, an hour of judgment is coming upon the earth. And so this prophesies to us, specifically it's predicted that there will be an appointed time for judgment for those who bear the mark of the beast and who are in the armies led by the Antichrist. So why do we care about this? The Antichrist will dominate the affairs of the earth for 3.5 years. He will grow in strength. The 10-nation alliance will grow in strength and power and dominion under the inspiration of Satan and under the leadership of both the Antichrist and the false prophet. However, you should never, ever take the mark of the beast, and you should never, ever join the armies of the 10-nation alliance, because God himself, Jesus Christ, is God manifest in the flesh, is coming. And the armies of the Antichrist are ripe for judgment at an appointed time. So imagine that we are at that point in time where these nations have ruled and reigned, the 10-nation alliance described in the book of Daniel and in chapter 13 in the 666 Antichrist prophecy. And it tells us in the 666 Antichrist prophecy that the people of the world will say, the beast is so powerful, who can defeat him? So it's a little bit hard for us to imagine, because in our lifetime, although the United States has dominated economic and political affairs of the world, although the European Union has become relatively strong, although China has become a dominant economic, has played a dominant role in the economy of the world, has become a dominant figure with respect to economics, none of these nations has been as powerful or will ever be as powerful as this 10-nation alliance that will emerge during the 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation. And so at that time, it will be very difficult for people to believe or imagine that the armies defending this 10-nation alliance, that they can be defeated. Because there will be no earthly army that can defeat the armies of the 10-nation alliance led by the Antichrist. Truth seeker, hear me when I report that according to the book of Revelation, these armies will be defeated. And they will be defeated by the armies of heaven. And so while it is true that no army on the earth will be strong enough, powerful enough, sophisticated enough to defeat the armies of the Antichrist, the armies of heaven are strong enough. The armies of heaven are powerful enough. The armies of heaven will, in fact, defeat the armies of the Antichrist, and those armies will be ripe for judgment. Let's continue. Verse 17 says, after that, another angel came from the temple in heaven, and he also had a sharp sickle. Again, in the book of Matthew, we're told that the angels will facilitate the harvest. Let's hear that. In the parable of the wheat and weeds explained in Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 to 43, it says, Jesus replied, the Son of Man is the farmer who plants the good seed. The field is the world, and the good seed represents the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people who belong to the evil one. The enemy who planted the weeds among the wheat is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the harvesters are the angels. So we hear over and over again in the book of Revelation, in the book of Matthew, and elsewhere in the Bible, that there's coming a harvest, and that harvest happens at the end of the world. Now, the end of the world happens over a 1,000-year period. You might say, well, what do you mean, research scientists? The end of the world begins with the second coming of Jesus Christ and the first resurrection, the marriage of the Lamb. And then we go to a 1,000-year transition period. So this present corrupted and corruptible earth will continue for 1,000 years. At the second coming of Jesus Christ, we begin the process of the end of the world. That's the harvest. So we begin the process of finalizing what happens to those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, those who are in line one, and what happens to those who are in line two, those whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, what happens to those who are the good fish, the wheat, the sheep, Team Jesus, those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, those are all synonyms for the same group of people. We transition from mortality to immortality. We put on our incorruptible bodies as described in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. But what happens to the weeds? So the end of the world happens over a 1,000-year period because it takes 1,000 years for God to finalize the actions related to the weeds. So we're hearing here in the earth reaped prophecy, what happens to those who are a part of the bad fish, the tares, the weeds, the goats? But what about what happens to them after they are destroyed? So it's one thing to experience the first death, to fall asleep, to become disembodied, right? So there's perfect continuity of life for every human being that ever existed. So when a person falls asleep, in other words, when a person experiences death, the person has perfect continuity of life, but instead of being three in one, a body, spirit, and soul, but one individual, right? Three in one, body, spirit, and soul. When we experience the first death, we are two in one. We are spirit and soul. We have our same mind, will, and emotions. We have our same soul, but we dwell either in heaven with a heavenly body or in Hades as disembodied spirits. So disembodied means we don't have a body suitable for living on the earth. Now, why is that important? Because the earth will exist for the eternities of eternities. We go from the present corruptible earth to a new incorruptible earth. So in the new earth prophecy, we get a beautiful and incredible a very detailed description of the new earth. Now, when do we get to the new earth? 1,000 years after the second coming of Jesus Christ. And right before we transition to the new earth, three key things happen. Satan is thrown into the lake of fire. Satan is destroyed with the second death. That's the lake of fire. All of the children of Satan, those who bear the mark of the beast, they are resurrected. You say, well, research scientists, what do you mean? So when a human being has rejected God's plan for salvation and experiences death, whether that's at the Battle of Armageddon or before the Battle of Armageddon, that individual continues to live perfect continuity of life, but two in one as a disembodied spirit in Hades, but will be resurrected at the great white throne judgment described in Revelation chapter 20 in the dead judged prophecy for the purposes, the person all will be resurrected who all who are Team Satan, all whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, all who bore the mark of the beast, as well as those who didn't bear the mark of the beast, but who also rejected God's plan for salvation, all the bad fish, all the goats, all the tares, all who are part of the clusters of grapes, they are resurrected 1,000 years after the second coming of Jesus Christ for the purposes of participation as litigants in the great white throne judgment. So their cases are litigated, and God has compelling evidence. What's the evidence? Their books. So in heaven, we're told, in the dead judged prophecy, there are books, and these books will be opened, and all the aims, all the intentions, all the actions, all the sins are recorded in each person's book in heaven. And when the case comes before God at the great white throne judgment, there's no defense. God is a God of justice. So he comes for the purposes of waging a war in righteousness. And all who have said, Jesus, I'm a sinner, I repent of my sins, I've been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of my sins, as noted in Acts 2:38. Those sin debts have been paid for, but every person in line two participates in the great white throne judgment because their sin debts have not been paid for. Now let's continue. We're talking about the predictions in the earth reaped prophecy. And in verse 16, it says, let's read verses 15 and 16. Of chapter 14, then another angel came from the temple and shouted to the one sitting on the cloud, swing the sickle, for the time of harvest has come. The crop on earth is ripe. So the one sitting on the cloud swung his sickle over the earth, and the whole earth was harvested. These are my favorite scriptures in the earth reaped prophecy, and they might be your favorite ones too. Why? Here, the predictions include, number one, the first resurrection will happen. The first resurrection will happen. In other words, after the second coming of Jesus Christ, all human beings who were born on this earth and whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, who are a part of the crop on the earth, the good fish, the sheep, the wheat, will be harvested. Let me say this in plain language. Every human being in Christ, whether on the earth or in heaven, will transition from mortality to immortality and put on a perfected, glorified body at the time of the marriage of the Lamb, the second coming of Jesus Christ. That is predicted here in verse 15 of chapter 14. The crop on earth is ripe. There is coming a time on a specific day, at a specific hour, minute, and second, where every person who has found and followed God's plan for salvation will transition to a perfected, glorified, incorruptible physical body. So heaven, as Prophet Randy has said over and over again, and as Randy Alcorn has said, and as I am saying to you today, so Randy Chandler refers to heaven as a storage tank. Randy Alcorn, who's written several books on heaven, he refers to heaven as a layover. And friend, don't be offended by this. This is Bible. Heaven is a temporary location for those who are disembodied spirits who are in Christ. Heaven is a temporary location for God the Father and for Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh. You say, well, research scientist, why do you say that? At the time of the second coming, Jesus Christ is relocating from heaven where he currently lives to this present earth. At the time of the second coming, every person who lives in heaven, we say, who lives in heaven? My grandmother lives in heaven. Maybe your mother or your father or your cousin or your son or your daughter lives in heaven. King David lives in heaven. Abraham lives in heaven. Ruth lives in heaven. Friend, there are people who are in a temporary location, which is heaven, and they are waiting to come back to this present earth. And then after 1,000 years, once all the enemies of God have been destroyed, we transition to a new earth. What's on the new earth? The New Jerusalem, a beautiful city that will literally descend from heaven and be merged onto the new earth. God the Father is relocating from heaven to the new earth, but he will not do it until every evil thing has been destroyed. He will not do it until Jesus Christ has destroyed the five enemies of God. Who were the five enemies of God? In the order of their destruction, number one, the Antichrist. Number two, the false prophet. Number three, Satan. Number four, every child of Satan. And number five, death itself. These five enemies of God will all be destroyed with God's strategy for destruction, which is the lake of fire. Now, in verse 15, it is predicted that the time for every person who has found and followed God's plan for salvation will transition from either living in a mortal body on the earth or living as a disembodied spirit in heaven, will transition to a glorified, perfected, immortal body. Hallelujah. Verse 16, so the one sitting on the cloud swung his sickle over the earth, and the whole earth was harvested. So it's predicted here that 100% of human beings, 100% of human beings on the earth at the time of the second coming will transition from mortality to immortality, will participate in the first resurrection. You might say, well, wait a minute. You said that the disembodied spirits in heaven were going to transition to immortality with getting a new body, and that the people on the earth will. Absolutely. Now, in the prophecy of the earth reaped prophecy, there's a specific focus on what happens to the people on the earth at the time of the second coming, and what happens to the people on the earth who are in Christ, and the people on the earth who are in Satan, who have the mark of the beast and who are in Israel for the purposes of fighting the battle of Armageddon. But we can hear the larger picture when we look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It describes the same event. So in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, in verses 16 to 17, it said, "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God." Now here it is, friend. First, the believers who have died will rise from their graves. Now, how do they rise from their graves? So they're already living in heaven with a heavenly body, but two in one, soul and spirit. They're going to rise from their graves because God is taking their old DNA with errors in it and perfecting their body. So when you transition from your current body to your perfected, glorified body, it will be you, but the best version of you that has ever existed and that will ever exist. It'll be your peak performance body. So it says here, the believers who have died will rise from their graves. Where are their graves? Here on the earth. And you say, well, how can he do it? You say, well, research scientists, I find that hard to believe because we took my sister and we spread her ashes over the lake near our house. That's what she wanted. Friend, nothing is too hard for God. Science attempts to catch up with God. The best scientists on this earth cannot take your DNA and perfect it. The most brilliant human being that has ever existed, let's say it's Einstein. And maybe you say, no, I think it was Tesla. Whoever that person did not figure out how to overcome death. But Jesus Christ has. He rose from the grave, and when he comes back, he's bringing with him every person who found and followed God's plan for salvation. Their bodies will rise from the grave, and they will put on those bodies. In other words, they will put on, what do we mean they? So they are two in one. Each person in heaven has perfect continuity of life, but is just two in one in a heavenly body. So they're literally going to descend from heaven and put on their new bodies. So their bodies will rise from the grave. How? How would their bodies rise from the grave? Through the power of God, through the intelligence of an omnipotent God. So God the Father is omniscient, all-knowing, omnipotent, all-powerful, omnipresent, present everywhere. Well, how can he be present everywhere? The Holy Spirit is on the earth. Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, is in heaven, and God the Father in his form as Father is in heaven. Now let's continue. Verse 17 in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 says, "Then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." Let's pause there. So that's the part that confirms, that gives us another report of the time of the harvest of the crop on earth. So you say, I really want to understand this earth-reaped prophecy. Okay, let's get this important secret. So in verse 15, when it says, of chapter 14 in the Earth Reaped Prophecy, for the time of harvest has come, the crop on earth is ripe. So the one sitting on the cloud swung his sickle over the earth, and the whole earth was harvested. That's this right here. Then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. That is the first resurrection. That is the marriage of the Lamb. We say, how is it the marriage of the Lamb? So the marriage of the Lamb is when God gets his forever family. That's the purpose of your life. The purpose of your life is so that you will have the opportunity to accept or reject God's invitation to be a part of his forever family. And everyone who accepts his invitation will marry God. What does that mean? That means God will join with us. We will join Jesus Christ, who is already in his perfected, glorified body, a body that is suitable for living on both the present earth when he returns and on the new earth to come. He's saying every person who's a member of the royal race, every person who will be with me forever and ever will also get a perfected, glorified body, a body that's free of DNA errors, a body that is a peak performance body. It will never get cancer. It will never have Alzheimer's. It will never have multiple sclerosis. It will never suffer from mental distress or physical distress. It will never be corrupted. It will never die. So, friend, if you want to have a body that is 100% free of DNA errors, you can. You can. It's your decision. You can decide that you will be a part of Earth's crop. So in this prophecy, we're told that there are two groups of people at the time of the second coming, those who are part of Earth's crop and those who are part of the clusters of the grapes of the vine of the earth. But elsewhere in the Bible, there's a bigger picture. So some of us will experience the first death before the second coming. That's nothing to be stressed out about, because again, there's perfect continuity of life. So if you die today, where are you going? Are you going to live two in one in heaven, or are you going to live two in one in Hades? So if you experience the first death and you're in line one, you transition to your perfected, glorified body as described here in the Earth Reaped Prophecy at the time of the second coming, the marriage of the Lamb. If you decide to reject God's invitation to be a part of his forever family, that means that you're in line two. That means that you will fail to make the first resurrection. Now, every person, with the exception of the Antichrist and false prophet, every person will be resurrected, either at time one, the marriage of the Lamb, that's the first resurrection, or at time two, that's resurrection for purposes of participation in the great white throne judgment at time two, 1,000 years after the second coming of Jesus Christ, as described in verses 11 to 15 of Revelation chapter 20. There's no option three. Either you participate in the first resurrection or the great white throne judgment. There's no option three. The Super Bowl is coming. And only two teams are allowed to participate. You are on somebody's roster. You are on somebody's roster. Are you on the Team Jesus roster, or are you on the Team Satan roster? Now, let me tell you a truth. If you have not been successfully recruited for Team Jesus, that means that you are on the roster of Team Satan. You might say, I'm opting out. Let me ask you a question. When it was time for you to be born, did you have the option to opt out? The Creator decides what options exist for the creation. Friend, I am not the Creator. You are not the Creator. Satan is not the Creator. God the Father is the Creator, and he has decided that every person has the opportunity to experience salvation if he or she is called. And you say, well, how do I know if I'm being recruited for Team Jesus? Friend, if you're hearing my voice, you are being recruited for Team Jesus. Now, what happens to those who are recruited for Team Jesus? They find and follow God's plan for salvation. Their names are recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. They transition from being a son or daughter of Adam to being a son or daughter of God. What does that mean? That means that you are guaranteed admission to the new earth. When you find and follow God's plan for salvation, some key things happen. Number one, your name is recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. Number two, you transition from being in wrong standing with God to being in right standing with God. In other words, all your sin debts, which separate you from God, sin separates us from God. All of our sin debts, past, present, and future, are paid for. So that means that we go free. No amount of money. Let's say Warren Buffett transferred to your bank account all the funds in his bank accounts, and you suddenly go from whatever your current financial status is to being a billionaire. That's not enough to pay for your sin debt. No number of good deeds. There's a religion out there that says if you have enough good deeds, if your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds, you go to paradise. That's a lie. A singular sin is sufficient. A singular sin is sufficient to separate you from God. That's the reason that you need a mediator. That's the reason that I need a mediator. There's only one mediator that's able to reconcile you and me and every person who was born in sin with a perfect God, and that mediator is Jesus Christ. You must go to mediation in order to get in right standing with God. Now, when you're recruited to Team Jesus, you're called to salvation, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're guaranteed admission to the new earth. You're guaranteed participation in the first resurrection. What does that mean? At the appointed hour, when Jesus Christ returns, that's his second coming, when he comes as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, you will put on your perfected, glorified body on this earth. Now, what loving parent wants to see his son or daughter die? And if you and if I, with our limited ability to love and experience love, if we grieve at the death of our loved ones, how much more does God, who is love, grieve at the death of his loved ones? And so, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 26, we're told that Jesus Christ will destroy death. Let me read that to you. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 26, and the last enemy he destroys will be death. So that is exciting and wonderful because that's the fifth and final enemy of God. That is the last thing that happens at the end of the world, friend. That's the fifth and final enemy of God. In Revelation chapter 20, we get a report of how death itself is thrown into the lake of fire. And following that, immediately after, we transition to the new earth. Hallelujah. Friend, it's not God's will that you perish. Yet, people do perish. Every person has the right and the responsibility to receive or reject the word of God. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. In the beginning of what? The beginning of time. The beginning of time, the beginning of this thing called earth, the world. But the end of the world is coming. The end of this present earth is coming. Will you be here with me and with us on the new earth? Do you have your ticket to the new earth? Have you been guaranteed admission to the new earth? Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Will you become a member of the royal race, or will you dwell in outer darkness, in the lake of fire that burns with brimstone forever and ever? Will you be with God, or will you be with Satan? So either you are Team Jesus and you have been successfully recruited to Team Jesus, or you are Team Satan. Now, whether we like it or not, this world is under the curse. You and I are experiencing a corruptible body. If you weren't under the curse, you'd never get sick. If I wasn't under the curse, I'd never get sick. I'd never have physical distress, emotional distress. Friend, have you ever had a cold? Have you ever had the flu? Have you ever had a bacterial infection? Maybe you've had worse. That's the evidence that you need Jesus. That's the evidence that something's wrong. That's the evidence that you're separated from a perfect God. God never gets sick. God has eternal life, and he wants you to have eternal life. How do you have eternal life? Find and follow God's plan for salvation. So you might say, I don't understand this word salvation. Let me explain it this way. Living in a perfect body on the new earth forever and ever is the evidence that you have experienced salvation. You have found and followed God's plan for your life. Now, I can't tell you who will win the Super Bowl in February, but I can tell you who wins the new earth. Only those whose name are written in the Lamb's Book of Life will win the Super Bowl, will gain admission to the new earth, will put on a perfected peak performance body. Now, even if none of the arguments that I've shared are compelling, certainly this is compelling. There is an omniscient creator who has the intelligence to design a perfect body that will never die. His will is for you to inhabit that body. Your decision is to reject or accept the opportunity to inhabit your perfected, glorified body. Now, this omniscient creator is Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh. I don't care what wrong actions people have done in the name of Jesus Christ. There are many people who have lied and said that they were Team Jesus, that they knew God. But the Bible says that those who do evil prove that they do not know God. Don't be dissuaded by those who are liars. Yes, there are those who say that they are Team Jesus when, in fact, they don't know Jesus at all. In fact, they are agents of Satan. They're children of Satan. That doesn't change the fact that there really is a God, and God really is recruiting you to be on his team, that he really has a plan for you to experience eternal life, that he's really grieved about the reality of death. He's so grieved about death that he is going to destroy death so that it no longer has the opportunity to exist. Let's continue with this Earth Reap prophecy. We've heard those predictions in verses 15 to 20. What about those predictions? In verse 14, it says, "Then I saw a white cloud, and seated on the cloud was someone like the Son of Man. He had a gold crown on his head and a sharp sickle in his hand." In the heavens, there are those who are sentient, those who have intelligence. And we're told that a sentient being, someone like the Son of Man, will sit on a cloud, and that he will wear a gold crown on his head. And this happens before the marriage of the Lamb. Let's continue in verse 13. "And I heard a voice from heaven saying, 'Write this down. Blessed are those who die in the Lord from now on.' Yes, says the Spirit, they are blessed indeed, for they will rest from their hard work, for their good deeds follow them." This gives us the prediction that every person who falls asleep, every person who experiences death is blessed. We say, how on earth can you be blessed if you die? What's blessed about that? What's great about dying? Let's look carefully. It says, blessed are those who die in the Lord from now on. They are blessed indeed, for they will rest from their hard work. Friend, you don't need me to tell you that living on this earth is hard work. Even for those who have no financial challenges, certainly they have interpersonal challenges. I heard one preacher say it like this: she could be happy as long as she didn't have to talk or interact with people. She said, you know, God, I'm doing great. It's just when I have to interact with people. We all experience challenges, financial challenges, emotional challenges, physical challenges, interpersonal challenges, intrapersonal challenges. So what do I mean? Interpersonal, interactions with others, people at work, people in your neighborhood. Maybe you're watching the news and you're one of those people that you yell at the television, or maybe you shake your head because they're saying things that don't make sense. It's hard. So maybe you're doing labor. Maybe you have a ministry where you pass out tracts. Or maybe you do Bible studies or you're a Bible teacher. Perhaps your work is to raise your children in the Lord or to be a provider for your family. Maybe you do some combination of things or something I haven't mentioned, but you know what it is to engage in hard work. But when you die in Christ, what happens? You immediately are relocated to heaven. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord for those who die in Christ. And when you're in heaven, you're resting from your labor. Now, why are you resting from your labor? There's no ability to labor for the kingdom when you're in heaven. Only those who are in Christ are in heaven, as well as Satan and his angels. That's temporary, right? Sometimes the third of the angels that Satan persuaded to follow him, sometimes they're here on the earth, sometimes they're in heaven. We're told in the book of Revelation that Satan and his angels will be thrown out of heaven permanently, but that hasn't happened yet. But for every person who is in Christ, when you're in heaven, there's no laboring for the kingdom. So here we labor to bring in the harvest. What's the harvest? That's every person who will be a part of our royal family. Every person who's a member of the royal race. Every person who will inhabit the new earth. Every person who's a part of the forever family of Jesus Christ. That's what it all means, friend. Have you ever wondered, God, why am I here? What is the purpose of all of this? The purpose of all of this is so that you will find the will of God, his plan for salvation, and follow it. Why? Because he wants to put his name on your forehead. He wants you to put on a perfected, peak performance, glorified, immortal body. He wants you to look at his face, to be his son or be his daughter forever and ever with him, not for 10 years or 50 years or 70 years or 100 years, but for the eternities of eternity. What do you say? Will you be a part of the royal race? Will you accept God's invitation to be on the roster of Team Jesus? Or will you find yourself on the roster of Team Satan and lose the coming Super Bowl? What happens to the losing team? They participate in the Great White Throne Judgment. They fail to understand that they had to go to mediation. They had to go to mediation. That's the only way they could have a successful outcome for their case. Now, we all have a case. You say, well, research scientists, what do you mean? We all will be judged. We all will have to answer to God for our actions, our activities, our aims, our motives, our decisions. Now, for those who are Team Jesus, because we have repented and been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins, that means that when it comes to our case, all our sin debt has been paid for. So when they open the book, our book is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, no sin debt, eligible for participation on the new earth. But for those who are on the roster of Team Satan, when they open their book, all those sins are listed there. You might say, well, I only have three sins or one. Does it matter, friend, whether you have one sin, 800 sins, 1,000 sins, or a million? If you have one sin, that is sufficient evidence to disqualify you from eligibility to participate on the new earth. Every person on the roster of Team Satan, when they are judged and they open the Lamb's Book of Life, their names are not written there. You have to find and follow God's plan for salvation in order to have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you say, well, this sounds ridiculous to me. It's not ridiculous, friend. This is the truth. This is the truth. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, what are God's words? What is the Word? The Word is the truth about eternity. And the end of the world is coming. And beyond the end of the world is eternity future. That's the eternities of eternities. So either you're going to spend it on the new earth, or you're going to spend it in the lake that burns with brimstone and fire forever and ever. So you will either have eternal life or eternal damnation. Those are the only two options. Now you get to decide. Let's continue with these predictions. In verse 12, it says, this means that God's holy people must endure persecution patiently, obeying his commands and maintaining their faith in Jesus. So this predicts that those who are God's holy people, those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, will be forced to endure persecution and patiently. The Great Tribulation is 3.5 years. 3.5 years, we will not be able to pray away the Great Tribulation. We will be able to increase Earth's crop. We will be able to preach the word. We will be able to successfully communicate the truth about how to find and follow the path to eternal life. That's repentance. Turning away from our evil and wicked deeds. We all struggle with engaging in right actions. Why? Because the earth is fallen. It's under the curse. Yet, when we repent of our sins and we're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, we operate in power. We're in right standing with God, and our spirit man is perfected. I'm going to pause there. Let me say about this. The prayer of agreement cannot pray away the crisis of the Great Tribulation. So it is predicted here that the Christians, God's holy people, those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, will endure persecution. That's absolutely coming. In the 666 Antichrist prophecy, chapter 13 of the book of Revelation, it says verses 9 and 10, if anyone is able to hear, let him listen. Whoever leads into captivity will himself go into captivity. If anyone slays with the sword must he be slain. Herein is the call for the patience and the faith and fidelity of the saints, God's people. So God is telling us you have to endure. Do endure. Do endure in the time of the coming Great Tribulation. Let's see the predictions in verse 11. It says, the smoke of their torment will rise forever and ever. We're in chapter 14 in verse 11, the earth reaped prophecy. It says, the smoke of their torment will rise forever and ever, and they will have no relief day or night, for they have worshiped the beast and his statue and have accepted the mark of his name. Now, this earth reaped prophecy focuses on what happens to the people on the earth, all who are in Christ, and those who have the mark of the beast. And Israel, there's a description of them. And now here in verse 11, it says, the smoke of their torment will rise forever and ever, and they will have no relief day or night, for they have worshipped the beast and his statue and have accepted the mark of his name. Truth seeker, whatever you do, when the time arrives, do not take the mark of the beast, because right here, it is prophesied, the prediction tells us that those who take the mark of the beast that ultimately they will be tormented and they will have no relief day or night. You say, well, what is this talking about? So every person who has the mark of the beast fail to make the first resurrection. So what does it mean if you fail to make the first resurrection? That means that a person failed to receive and put on a peak performance body. That person failed to transition from mortality to immortality. So what does that mean? If you've failed to participate in the first resurrection because you were not successfully recruited onto the roster of Team Jesus, that means that you are going to experience the first death, and that you will participate in the second resurrection. So everybody who's on the roster for Team Satan participates in the resurrection to eternal damnation. Well, when does that happen? At the Great White Throne Judgment, at the time of the dead judged prophecy. So immediately after Satan is thrown into the lake of fire, described in verse 10 of chapter 20, let me read that to you. So this is 1,000 years after the return of Jesus Christ, it says in verse 10 of chapter 20. Then the devil who had led them astray, deceiving and seducing them, was hurled into the fiery lake of burning brimstone, where the beast and false prophet were. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever through the ages of the ages. This prediction is telling us that just like the Antichrist, the false prophet, and the devil who are in the lake of fire, where they're going to be tormented, experiencing eternal damnation in what the Bible calls the outer darkness. The outer darkness in a fiery lake that burns with brimstone forever and ever. Also, so it's one thing to talk about the Antichrist, the false prophet, two specific individuals, and the devil, but what about you? That's what I'm interested in. What is happening with you? Where will you be? Will you and I both be on this new earth? It matters to me. It matters to God. God is thinking about you every day. Every day he's thinking good thoughts about you and towards you. And every day Satan is thinking wrong thoughts about you and towards you. You have to decide. You have to decide, whose voice do I want to hear? Whose plan do I want to follow? Do I want to follow Satan to eternal damnation? Or do I want to follow Jesus onto the present earth and the new earth to come? So those who have the mark of the beast, during that great tribulation, there'll be such enormous pressure to take the mark of the beast, because we're told in the 666 Antichrist prophecy that people need the mark of the beast, will need it in order to buy and sell in the dominant economy. So this doesn't mean there won't be other economies that exist, but if you want the power to buy or sell, you have to have the mark of the beast. That's the name of the beast, or the number of his name, according to verse 17 of chapter 13. But here's the thing. What does it matter if you can participate in this new stock market that's going to emerge? So now, this is my opinion. This is not Bible. I personally believe that the New York Stock Exchange, as well as the stock markets that we see in Europe, that we will have something new that will ultimately emerge. And that new thing will be the thing that the 10 Nation Alliance is in control of, and that it will be important for people to be able to buy or sell if they want to participate in the global, the one world economy of this 10 Nation Alliance. But here's the point that I'm making, and this is straight from the Bible. If you take that mark of the beast, ultimately, so when we say ultimately, what do we mean? What happens to you for when you're, let's say, 2,000 years old, when you're 2,500 years old, you're 3,000 years old? In other words, there's never a time where you will not exist. You will always exist somewhere that's a specific location. So, for example, my father exists. His first body is decaying in the earth, but he has perfect continuity of life, and he exists in another location. And ultimately, either he will be on the new earth, or he will be in the outer darkness, in the lake that burns with brimstone forever and ever. That's the same thing. That is your story and my story. We'll be in one of two locations forever and ever. And those who take the mark of the beast, so what's the take-home point? If you take the mark of the beast and you succumb to the pressure to worship the beast and his statue during the Great Tribulation, that means that you have been successfully recruited to the Team Satan roster. And that is a tragedy, because that means that ultimately for eternity future, so that means after the end of the world, after this present earth is no more and we transition to the new earth, you will not be on it. You will not be on it. You will be in the outer darkness. So friend, whatever you do, make sure that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that you successfully join the Team Jesus roster. You need mediation. You have a case. God has a case against you. He has a case against me. And the only way for us to win is through mediation, and Jesus Christ is the mediator designated by God the Father to reconcile you to your Creator and to reconcile me to my Creator. Okay, let's hear verse 10, verses 9 and 10. Then a third angel followed them, shouting, "Anyone who worships the beast and his statue, or who accepts his mark on the forehead or on the hand, must drink the wine of God's anger. It has been poured full strength into God's cup of wrath, and they will be tormented with fire and burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and the Lamb." So again, we hear more details specifically. So there's no equivocation here. It's absolutely 100% clear. Anyone who takes the mark of the beast will experience God's anger. And part of that righteous anger means that they will be separated from God. Because remember, God is relocating from the present heaven to the new earth. That's described in the book of Revelation in the new earth prophecy. But if you have any sins in you, if you are inspired and dominated by Satan, if you have not been to mediation, your case has a bad ending. And because of your sin debt, you will be thrown into the lake of fire. So, friend, don't take the mark of the beast. Don't take the mark of the beast unless you are knowingly and purposefully saying, you know what, I don't even want to say those words. I don't want to say those words over you or me or anyone listening. Friend, say these words. God, I accept your invitation to be a part of your forever family. And friend, maybe you've never said it. You can say, God, I know I've done some bad things, some wrong things. I'm ashamed. I repent. And what does that mean? That's just a word for turning away. You say, Lord, I turn my back on those sins. I don't want to do those sins again. I'm sorry. I repent. I turn away from those sins. And Jesus, I believe that you are God, that you are the Son of God, that you died on the cross for me. I make you Lord of my life. I'll follow what the word says in Acts 2:38. I will get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the payment of my sin debts, because I know that I have sinned and I'm sorry. And then, friend, when you do that, the Bible says receive the free gift of the Holy Spirit so that you can operate in power. But the key thing is this. when your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're guaranteed admission to the new earth. You're guaranteed a perfected, glorified body. You're guaranteed a spot in God's forever family. Really, what is the point of life? To find and follow God's plan for salvation in plain language, to accept God's invitation to be a part of his forever family. You might say, well, research scientist, why can't I just say I accept? Friend, you are not the boss of God, and I am not the boss of God. Only God is the boss of God. So God has created a plan to reconcile you and me to him. In other words, to bring us back into the fold, to get us in right standing, because God is perfect. Nothing that is imperfect or that has any kind of evil can live in the presence of God. And that's why Jesus Christ is going to destroy every evil thing, and then God the Father is relocating from the present heaven to the new earth, but not until the five enemies of God have been destroyed. Okay, let's continue. So what are the final predictions? It says, and I saw another angel flying through the sky, verses 6 to 8. And I saw another angel flying through the sky carrying the eternal good news to proclaim to the people who belong to this world, to every nation, tribe, language, and people, fear God. He shouted, give glory to him, for the time has come when he will sit as judge. Worship him who made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all the springs of water. Then another angel followed him through the sky, shouting, Babylon is fallen. That great city is fallen because she made all the nations of the world drink the wine of her passionate immorality. Many people today say that they have never seen or heard an angel. Although some say they have or haven't, there is coming a day as predicted here. We hear in this prediction, multiple angels will be sent to the earth. They will be seen and heard, and we hear what several of the angels will say. Not only will they say them, but they will shout these words to the people of the earth, to every nation, it says. And we're told, we just heard the words, that they will shout. So these angels will announce the second coming and then announce that Babylon has fallen. So at the time of the second coming, there's the marriage of the Lamb. That's the first resurrection. And then there's the marriage supper. That's the battle of Armageddon. So friend, I hope that this has been an interesting discussion for you. I pray that you will join us in December when we'll be talking about the seven plagues prophecy in the book of Revelation. And I want to pray over you from the book of Revelation. Verse 3 of chapter 1 says, blessed, happy to be envied is the man who reads aloud in the assemblies the word of this prophecy. And so, friend and truth seeker, I declare that you are blessed. You are happy to be envied, because you have heard the word of the prophecies of the book of Revelation read, and I pray that you will keep yourself true to the things which are written in it, heeding them and laying them to your heart, for the time for them, the prophecies of the book of Revelation to be fulfilled is near. I encourage you to call out to the Lord, according to Jeremiah 33:3, because he will show you great and mighty secrets that you do not know.